our refreshments this evening. And I anticipate that keeping the previous weeks in schus of the sponsorship, you will have Siyata Rishmaya to ask many very prescient and incisive questions. We've had that in the past.
After we stop
eating. That's part of the soul food, which fuels the brain. Parshas Emor, of course, is famous in part or largely because of the Parshas HaMoadim. All the different Moadim are mentioned in Perek Chav Gimel here. And towards the end of the Perek, one of the last holidays that's mentioned and discussed is the holiday of Sukkot. We know that Sukkot actually has more mitzvah content than most holidays because you have a whole discussion of the Sukkah itself, from which the holiday derives its name. And then that's what's discussed first in the Torah. And then in the continuation of the Torah's treatment of the holiday, you have a discussion of the Dalet Minim. And here in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Mem, we have the very famous Pasuk that tells us about the mitzvah to take the lulav, what we call shaking the lulav, or netilas lulav. The Pasuk tells us, "V'lakachtem lechem b'yom harishon," you should take for yourself on the first day of the holiday, pre-Eitz Hadar, which we know, of course, to be the Esrog, Kapos Tamarim, which is the lulav, Eitz Avos, the Hadassim, V'arvei Nachal, and the Arovos, V'samachtem, and you gather them together, and you celebrate l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem, Shivas Yamim. And you will celebrate over the course of 7 days. It's interesting that the Pasuk first mentions day one, the Yom HaRishon, and at the end of the Pasuk mentions 7 days. And in fact, the halacha, as many of you know, is that there is a difference between those two, especially in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the D'oraisa requirement to take a lulav only lasted the entire holiday in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the end of the Pasuk. V'lakachtem b'yom HaRishon, on the first day, there was an obligation for everyone to take the lulav, even if you were in the outer parts of Yerushalayim, or not even in Yerushalayim, even the Gvulim. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hidkin of Yochanan ben Zakkai is Zecher LeMikdash, that is a commemoration of what they used to be able to do in the Mikdash, that we should take the lulav all days of the holiday. However, as we see from this pasuk, and the Gemara establishes it, in fact, to be the case, that even to this day, when we take the lulav on the first day, that would be the D'oraisa. And again, this manenu, we are obligated to do the lulav not only the first day, but also the first 2 days, because of the whole suffix, stick of the yoma. But the rest of Yantif, including Chol HaMoed, so that is only a mitzvah midrabanan of Zecher LaMikdash taking the lulav. But the primary obligation is on those first days. And that's something that is already hinted at in this pasuk. I want to focus tonight's shiur on a halacha and very related points that come out of a particular phrase at the beginning of the pasuk. I would like to speak about the obligation, the ownership requirements when it comes to the dalet minim. So just take, for example, as an illustration, tefillin. We all have to wear tefillin every day. What happens if you don't own tefillin? What happens if your tefillin are puzzled? What happens if you forgot your tefillin on the bus and now you're already up at camp? And it's going to take a day or two, so they fly the tefillin to you. So what do? Say, there's nothing I can do, I'm putter from tefillin? Of course not. What do? You borrow tefillin, right? You want to make sure the guy's right side head, and the lefty and a righty. But the bottom line is, you can borrow tefillin. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the same mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to own tefillin. It doesn't exist such a mitzvah. Anywhere in the books, there's no mitzvah called owning tefillin. This is wearing tefillin. If you own your own, that's a good thing. You can always wear them, but if you have to borrow, you borrow. There's nothing less about the mitzvah if you are borrowed tefillin. And that's true for many, 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 many mitzvahs. However, Chazal tell us in a number of places in Masechta Sukkah that when it comes to the Dalet Minim, it's not so simple. The first source, actually, if I could ask, Sam, if you could get me a Sukkah, please. Gemara. In the Mems and in the Chas. Thank you. So in Daf, for example, in the Mishnah, in Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, it's not the first place it's mentioned in the Masechta in terms of Dafim, but as a Mishnah, of course, it's even more authoritative than the Gemara. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, I think, or maybe not. Oh, this is Yuma, no wonder. I'm looking in the wrong place, excuse me. Masechta Sukkah, Mem Aleph, Amadeus. Mishnah tells us. The context of this Mishnah happens to be what if the first day of Yontif was on Shabbos. We know Midrabanan, those exeter, we don't take all of our Shabbos from Midaraisa, especially in the Mikdash, they would have. The Mishnah is talking about that. And then the Mishnah talks about putting the lulav down, getting it the next day. Anyway, the Mishnah mentions that when you would come to the Beis Hamikdash the next morning, you would particularly look for your lulav, and then you would take it. Why does the Mishnah stress your lulav? The Mishnah tells us, because the Chachamim tell us, Ein Adam Yosei Chavasa B'Yamtev Harishon B'Lulav Shachavero. That on the first day of Yamtev, again, for us, it would be the first 2 days, you cannot use a borrowed lulav. You cannot use a lulav that's not yours. However, v'shar yimos achag, but the rest of the holiday, adam yotzei lechavosu b'lulavo shachaveiro. The Mishnah here does not tell us the reason for that, or the source. The Mishnah tells us on the first day or days of Yontif, you have to own your own dalet min and set. If you don't have your own, you cannot be yotzei. That's what the Mishnah tells us. The Gemara asks, how do we know such a halacha? It's not true about tefillin, it's not true about other things. You don't have to own your own shofar. Why is it true about the dalet min? The Gemara asks, how do we know this? The Gemara says, the Tanu Rabbanan, because Chazal teach us, v'lakachtem, the first part of the pasuk says, v'lakachtem, and you will take, you in the plural, shetehe l'kicha b'yad kol echad, the echad, that everyone has to take. The Meiri, I think, and others explain what that means is, you might have had a hava mina, so there's a mitzvah called lulav. Maybe only the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin takes. Right? Relating to another parsha, halacha from our parsha, right? When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, the halacha is, because it says the Sfaratam Lachem, we know that everyone has to count as opposed to Shemitah and Yovel. Are you counting? Are you keeping track of Shemitah and Yovel? The answer is, there's no mitzvah to do that on every individual Jew. The Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, is obligated to count and keep the count of the Shemitah and the Yovel. But Sfira, everyone has to count. So analogously, the Gemara here says, Lakachtem, every one of us has to take a lulav. Okay, we all have to take a lulav, but maybe I could take your lulav. Who said I have to have my own lulav? So the Gemara continues, that's the next word. Lachem. Right? Why does it say Lakachtem Lachem? It's redundant. Right? The conjugation of Lakachtem, how do you translate it? And you should take. We already know that it's you. The word Lachem is extra. So why does the Pasuk stress Lakachtem Lachem? So the Gemara, Mishalachem, that it has to be yours. You must own the lulav. The hotzi es ha-shoul ves ha-gozel. You can't use a borrowed lulav, and you can't even use a stolen lulav. Now, just so we shouldn't be confused, the Gemara here is saying that the problem with a stolen lulav is that you don't own it. Maybe there's such a thing as kinyane gzela. The answer is that only hurts you, it doesn't help you. You have kinyane gzela, so that if something happens to it before you return it, you're going to be responsible for it as if you owned it. You can't say that it's someone else's, so therefore they have to suffer the loss. No, you take responsibility for something when you steal it, but of course that doesn't mean you get to keep it. Right? Even if there's kinyan gzeila, it doesn't mean you really, really own it. So you might have thought, well, I have kinyan gzeila, I can use the stolen lulav, kamash v'lon lachem. You'll ask me, what about mitzvah baba aveira? So that's the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak, which is called lulav hagozel, discusses when do you use the reason of mitzvah baba aveira. That's not this evening's topic, but in case the wheels in your mind were turning in that regard, I just wanted to mention that you were on the right track. But here the Gemara specifically is not talking about that. It's talking about the need for ownership. And if you have a borrowed lulav or even a stolen lulav, you do not have absolute ownership, and therefore you would not be yotzei. How do we know it? Says the Gemara, lakachtem lachem. I won't read it inside, but I'll just mention it to you that the Gemara, in at least one other place, mentions it earlier in the Masechta, also in the Parak, second Parak, I think it is, in Daf Chav Zayin of Abayz. There, there's a machlokas from Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about whether you can fulfill the mitzvah in a borrowed or your friend's sukkah. Your friend invites you over for the first night. So, sukkah shachavero. In a sense, you're borrowing it, meaning he's letting you use it, to fulfill your mitzvah. Is that really good? So that is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Whether on the first day or night of Yontif, you need to have your own sukkah, or you can fulfill your mitzvah with someone else's sukkah. That's the machlokas, Tanayim. However, says the Gemara, everyone agrees, the Kuli Alma, even the one who says you can be invited out on the first night of sukkah and eat someone else's sukkah, the Kuli Alma, everyone agrees that that's not true when it comes to the lulav. The next morning after you dressed well in your friend's sukkah, but you better have your own lulav and esrog, or else you're not going to be yotzei. So that's another Gemara which is based on the halacha in our Mishnah on daf mem aleph. So at least twice in the Gemara, once in the Mishnah, that those are just familiar to me off the top of my head. Those are Gemaras and Mamari Chazal that enunciate this halacha for us, that one must own their own dalet ninim on the first day or days of Yom Tov. It's worth noting that the So that's the halacha. Now that's ideal, and in today's day and age, with almost no exception, we actually have that. Right? We live in an unbelievably affluent situation, both in terms of the resources and in terms of the lulavim, and in terms of the resources to purchase the lulavim. But it's not that long ago, I'm sure there are people in this room who may have very strong memories of there not being lulavim, or maybe in the old yeshiva being one lulav. I happen to be listening to a Torah, not a Torah tape anymore, I was listening on an MP3 file, I'm not sure what you call that. An audio file, which was downloaded, right, doesn't work as well as just sitting on a Torah tape. And it was actually a share by a friend of mine about an unrelated topic, but he mentioned in passing that there's a Rav who actually is also a dean and a professor at YU, but he's a Rav on the Upper East Side, Rabbi Schmidman. He was a very well-known rabbinic family. He was a Rav in Detroit who passed away. Schmidman has a brother and a cousin. Anyway, we have Schmidmans in the neighborhood here, but through marriage. And so he said that this Rabbi Shridman, the one who's on the rabbi in New York, he was mentioning that he has still vivid memories of a child where it wasn't until the afternoon of Hoshana Rabbah, right, there's only a few hours left of the mitzvah, when they finally had Olulav pulling up in the docks. And he said he still remembers as a kid running down that everyone wanted to have a few more minutes so we could have for the first time Olulav, the whole sukkah. So these are not just 1,000 years ago, even in recent memory, it used to be that there could be a real problem. Now, people of my generation have no recollection of anything like this, because we're fortunate not to have that situation. But theoretically, whether it's a widespread problem or it's an individual problem, either for financial reasons or otherwise, so now that we have this halacha, which is not debated, it's quoted in Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, now the question is, well, what do you do? I mean, are we that absolutist? What do you do, Taka, if you don't have a lulav? What are your options? So here, the Gemara itself addresses that, and the Gemara tells us in the continuation the following. True, ain't Adam Yosei Echavasab Yom Tov Rishon Shalchag Bululava Shalchavero. True, you cannot use, you can't borrow, you can't use someone else's lulav on the first day. That's true, but there is an out. What's the out? Elim Kain Nashna Lo Bimatana. If he gives it to you as a gift, then you own it, right? If I give you a gift, you own it. I give you my lulav, right? And the presumed likely case is, I own the lulav, so I already shook the lulav, so I'm yotzei my mitzvah. Now I can give it to you, and you own it, and now you can shake the lulav. So true, I paid for it, but that's okay, I'm allowed to give you a gift. If I give you a gift, that's legally binding. And now you own the lulav, and you can shake the lulav. And if there's a third guy, so hopefully you'll be just as generous, and after you're yotzei, you'll give it to him as a gift. That's what the Gemara says. As an aside, and there are perhaps some discussions in post-game about this, the parallel Tosefta of this Gemara adds a word. It doesn't just say Matana, but it adds Matana Gemura. But Bapashtus, that's what we mean here in the Gemara itself. I give it to you as a gift, and that is sufficient. So if we stop here, everything is still very, very simple. Two simple halachos, one a solution to the first. First halacha is, our pasuk and our parsha tells us you have to own the lulav and the dalet minim. The second halacha is, owning doesn't mean necessarily paying for. You can also have a gift, right? The gifts that I get from my parents and the kid that my kids get from me, trust me, they feel a full sense of ownership in them, and it's theirs. So if I give you a gift, that also works. That's two halachas that we learned just now. Very simple if we would stop there. However, the Gemara continues with a very well-known story of a number of Tanoim who were on a boat. And sure enough, the boat was still on the waters and traveling when it came to the first day of Sukkot. So I don't know if we have any evidence about what these Tanoim did about the Sukkah. Maybe they were potter. Maybe they had a Sukkah on the boat. I don't know. It doesn't say, to best of my knowledge, in any source. But the Gemara does tell us the story of what did they do for Dalet Minim. Ma'is Abraham Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lozman Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, right? Some of our most famous, famous Tanaim. Shayibayin b'sfina. They were all on a boat. Lohaya lulav ella Rabban Gamliel bilvad. There's only one lulav owned by Rabban Gamliel. Shalachu be'elev zuz. Why was he the only one who had it? Because it cost 1,000 zuz to get it. Right? Right? The market demands were well known to Chazal. Right? There was a not everyone had that kind of money. And even if everyone did, the reason it cost 1,000 zuz is because there weren't that many of them. But he had it. What happened? Not Lu Rabban Gamliel v'yatzabal. So he sure enough, right? He b'chanu mazumin, shook the lulav, made his bracha. He was yotzei. What did he do after that? The nastan Rabbi Yeshua b'matana. He gave it as a gift to Rabbi Yeshua. Good. We have an illustration of our halacha in action. That you can give a gift. Sure enough, we have a Maisa Rav that confirms this. What did he do? Not Lu. He took it himself. Rabbi Yeshua v'yatzabal. So now he's also Yatza. What does he do after that? Nasr of Loza ben Azariah for Matana. Now he has it as a gift. Not Lo. Yatzabo. He shook the lulav. Now he's Yatzay. And finally, Nasr of Matana Rabbi Akiva. Young Rabbi Akiva, the youngest. He also gets the gift. Now he shakes the lulav. And he's Yatzay. Not Rabbi Akiva, Yatzabo. So if we stop here, as Rashi points out, this story is a very, you know, confirming illustration of the halacha we were just taught. Yes, you have to own a lulav, but owning could also mean being the recipient as a gift. That's also ownership, as we see from these Tanaim. So far, also just good, a story, stories that are good, stories confirm the halacha. However, then the Gemara adds one final note to the story, which will hopefully provide us with the basis of a very fascinating shir. Says the Gemara, after Rabbi Akiva finished, Tichziro l'Rabban Gamliel. He returned it to Rabbi Gamliel. Who's Rabbi Gamliel? The original owner of the lulav. Frakta Gemara, Lomali Lamemer Hizero. What does, you know, everything else until that point in the story was essential to explain to us how the Tanaim all were Yotzei their mitzvah. Why do we need to have that addendum? Why do we need to know that last fact? Rabbi Akiva returned it to the original owner, after all, who was already been Yotzei, the mitzvah lulav. I'll tell me, well, they have to shake lulav tomorrow and the next day, but by then, you can use shaul, you can use the borrowed lulav. So why do we need to know this fact? Says the Gemara, it's also a halachic fact. Not the main point we were learning, but a side point, a related point. Milsa agav orcha kamashmila, that's teaching us a related, separate but related halacha. What is that? Tana amanach lahasir shmama tana. If you give someone a gift on condition that they subsequently return it to you, so whatever the time duration is, if it's for 10 minutes or if it's for a year, whatever that duration is, you might have thought, come on, what is that? No, Chazal say, matana amanach lahasir shma matana. We're not talking about it in an emotional way, right? If I tell my kids, you can have this toy until you return it to me the next day, they will not consider that a gift. But from a halachic perspective, gift here equals ownership. Right? After all, lakachtem lachem means you need to own the lulav. And our Gemara had said that you can fulfill that requirement if someone gives you a lulav as a gift. So for the purpose, we're not talking now about emotion, we're talking about halacha. From a halachic perspective, when we call something a matana, right, in your mind, that's an equal sign for ownership. So says the Gemara now, if I give you a gift on condition that at some point in the future you'll return it to me, you might have thought that, come on, in the middle, what am I really, I'm really just borrowing it, I don't really own it. Kamash one says the Gemara, no. Matana manasa hasir shma matana. For whatever that duration of time is, you are the full owner of that. Presumably.
What means that as pasukas for lulav, right? Not for comments for Pesach, right?
We're not talking about Pesach at all, right?
If you give it a but it's not in inch by my father, right?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
If you give a guy matahasa, a bunch of comments, a loaf of bread, we give it back after Pesach to him. Let's
stay with this for a second. We'll discuss other mitzvahs in a moment. But our Gemara is mentioning this as a general principle, but it's only giving, right now we're only dealing with the example of Sukkos.
There were a number of owners in the chain of ownership here.
We'll get to it. Good. And the Gemara gives a confirmation of this halacha with another memra, another statement, also about Lulav and Esrog. Kihod Amar Rava, as Rava said, Rava's obviously living later, Heilach Esrog al Menas Shetachziru Li. I give someone an Esrog, right? Maybe he had the other three minim, but he didn't have an Esrog. So I give it to him on condition, it doesn't say when, but on condition that at some point you return it to me. Says the Gemara, in that case, Rava Paskind, not Lulav Yatsabo. You shook the lulav, right? You have your lulav, your three minim you own, because you bought them, and your esrog, which you own, because someone gave it to you as a gift. Your yotzei, he's zero yatsa, assuming you eventually return, because you fulfilled, right? You made a deal, but you return it. You only own it if you live up to your end of the deal by you returning the esrog. Lo hich zero, lo yatsa. But if you don't ever return it, then retroactively, you never owned it, because you were mevatel condition upon which you were given it. And then you wouldn't have been Yotzi. Okay? I'm Kan the Gemara. Now, just to make two ha'aras, one which was already alluded to, and one we'll mention, which I don't want to discuss, but just to mention to you that the good ha'aras on the Gemara and Rishonim do discuss. The first is the one that Nachman mentioned, which is that here, even though the story never explicitly tells it, but obviously what the Gemara is interpreting is Rabbi Akiva had to give it back to Rabbi Gamliel, because that was part of the condition of Al Manas Lahasir. Now the question is, and we'll a little bit relate to this in the last point, and Rosh Hashanah, I hope we'll conclude this year with, but in terms of understanding the story, so the Rishonim do discuss, if you're interested, on this Gemara, take a look at Tosfos here, there's a huge Tosfos Halach, a Tosfos in Kedushin Davav, a Rashbam and Bava Basra. Rishonim do discuss what was going on here. Did Rabbi Gamliel explicitly tell each one of them, you can give it to the next guy? Or do we just assume he didn't mind? Is it okay that the last guy gave it back? Why is it okay that Akiva gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel? Shouldn't he have given it? Has he given it back to the first one? So the Rishonim do discuss that. It's a worthy ha'ara, but it won't really be relevant for the most part to our shir. A second point, which is also mentioned by some of the Rishonim, that they are a mayor, and that is that we know, some of us have learned, if you're familiar with Nedarim and Shluis, that there are halachos, very strict halachos, learned out from, who knows? B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvain, about how you have to make a condition. And what are the two classic rules? Right? One is it has to be Hain Kodem Olav, and it also has to be Kanai Kafu. So Tosis and other Rishonim discuss, here there's no indication, right? What did Rabbah say? Hey, look, Esrog, here it is. Almanasu, give it back to me. So, the Rishonim discuss, some Rishonim say, no, the Gemara only was giving it as the, you know, the kitzur and the cliff notes. But yes, halakhically, in order to do this, you would need to fulfill Mishnei Tanayim. That's the position of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim say no. Perhaps in some cases such as this, you don't need the formal rules of Mishnei Tanayim. This works independently.
Is that so again, the context is
again, that's a separate discussion I don't want to get into, but that is just, again, in case the wheels are turning, that's a good ha'aru, you're on the right track. This is discussed, but I don't want to spend the time now to discuss it. Right, so as we mentioned then, and maybe this is, I don't remember if we discussed this or if the Rishonim discussed this, but maybe this is a Raya, because we mentioned then that many say, and in fact, Lamaisa, I think, or Mavadja, and others argue persuasively, that the Torah Mitzvah is Mutter. And the Bar Mitzvah gift. Right, the Bar Mitzvah gift, right? The Tzarek Mitzvah, it's Mutter. Some have Hidurim, not to do it, to give it as a loan. But Lamaisa, many, many poskim held that push comes to shove, the Tzarek Mitzvah is Mutter. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Everything we've just said so far is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. We haven't seen anything that's controversial or debated yet. And in fact, it comes straight down the pike to Shulchan Aruch. This is discussed in Archaim and Simon Tof Reish Nun Ches. 658, and the first halacha, the basic halacha, that lechem requires ownership, that's in Sif Gimel, and in Sif Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch then discusses the second point, which is not only is ownership can be had if you have a full gift, but even if the gift has a condition of Almanas L'Achzir, but in the interim, let's say it's the full gift, the Matana Gemura, and therefore you're Yotzei. That's in Sifim Gimel and Dalid. Okay? Adkan, the basic Gemara, based on our Pasuk and our Parsha, detailing the ownership requirements of Dalet Minim. That was alluded to, but I don't want to go as far afield as you mentioned, that this idea that the Gemara mentioned is not limited to Dalet Minim. The Gemara is using a specific example, but in fact, the Gemara in Maseches Chidushin on Daf Vav Amud Beis tells us, look, Kulhu Konile, Levar Meisha Sheniknis Bechalipin. The Gemara has a rule there that in general, Matan Amanas Lahafsir works for almost anything in which you have to have ownership of something. Giving it to someone on condition that they return it does count. Even in other mitzvah contexts, not just for Hechus Choshen Mishpat, which is what Matanah Tassah Shema Matanah means basically, but that can even help you to fulfill mitzvahs. Not just Lulav here, says the Gemara, but Kulo Kanile. It works in general. Perhaps the exception is you can't give a woman Kesef Kiddushin Amanah Tassah and say you're married, right? Insert joke now. It doesn't really work with your wife if you want to give her the ring or return it to you tomorrow. And on a serious note, there's a major machlokas we've shown him as to why that doesn't work in Kiddushin, which is not at all our topic for tonight. But the Gemara does make that general principle that from a halachic perspective, this is not a limited case to Dalet Minim, but it can apply in a broader context. Who knows what Lamaisa Ad HaYom HaZeh almost universally is a mitzvah fulfilled in this vein, in this manner? Pidyon HaBen! Right, you have to give the Kohen Chamesh Shloim. Right? How many people really give the Kohen Chamesh Shloim? In fact, in many cases, it's really the Kohen's silver dollars. Right? He gives it to you, and then you give it to him. In fact, there's a discussion. Many people, this is, again, I don't want to get into opinion of end discussion. Rav Yaakov Emdin believed that in light of the fact that our Kohanim Bizman HaZeh are not Vadai Kohanim, but only Bechezkas Kohuna, but we're still not 100% sure about Yuchsin. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden held that you should do Pidyon HaBen with Matzal Menas HaHasir. Now the Aruch HaShulchan, for example, went wild against Rabbi Yaakov Emden, your Mezalzel and Kahuna, and again, that's a Pidyon HaBen discussion. Don't want to get sidetracked by that either. But the bottom line is, we see as another example, a common example, we see this occurring. The question, now that we see this broader basis, whether it be in Choshen Mishpat terms, or in, I'll give you as an example, I'd have to say more, not so common in our circles, but in certain circles, very fancy circles, so even among the rich and famous, so there's only so much jewelry a particular fancy woman might own, and if she's being invited to the White House or going to the Emmys, or forgive me, so very often they want to have even more exorbitant and extravagant jewelry. So, right? Right, that kind of thing. So what happens regularly? The stores will give it to them, right, for it's good advertising for them, etc., on condition that they give it back. So the halacha is, if they gave it with Torah Shoel, it has one kind of halachos in Choshen Mishpat. But it could also be done as a matana manas ahasir. And then, in the interim, for that 5 hours, right, until Cinderella's clock runs out, they own it, complete kinyan gomor, right? Matana Tasir, Shema Matana. So whether it's in the Choshen Mishpat context, or when it comes to various mitzvos, such as Pidyon HaBen, or Dalet Minim, if you need it, like the case on the boat, we have seen until now that it works, Shema Matana, it gets the job done. However, Rabosai, there is a major machlokas Rishonim, given the facts, which I've said until now, which are not in dispute at all, there is a major dispute how to understand these facts. What is going on when you have a matana, a manas tahasir? And I won't go through all of the different shitas on the two sides, but to give you illustrative examples of the two schools of thought. The Ritva, both on our Gemara Maseches Sukkah and in Maseches Kiddushin, and the Avava Beis, in both places, I'll even read you a lashon of a Ritva. The Ritva says the following. Listen closely to the language. I read first from the our Gemara Maseches Sukkah. Kamash Malon, our Gemara was teaching us the Matana Manas Lahasir Shema Matana. What does that mean, Pirish? Momon Gomor Hu Shelo Lachol Gomor. As we've been assuming until now, written a very striking language. In the interim, if you're the recipient, it's Momon Gomor Shelo Hu. You own it 100%. What he leaves unsaid, but I'm going to have to return it. So here we would employ the classic halachic term, tanai nosach ritihi. There's an external tanai. I, in the future, right, imagine, whenever I learn this sugya, I imagine sequential boxes in a comic strip. Right, so I, we can look ahead and we know that in the last box I'm going to have to return it. Okay, you're not supposed to look at the end of the story. You take it box, my box, my box. And right now, you own it. Mamun shalohu, mamun gomorhu. It's absolutely yours. It just happens to me that there's an external condition that you're going to have to return it. But it has nothing to do, it doesn't impinge ki hu zeh on the fact that you own it now. We are like halachically schizophrenic. We can put it off to the side and completely separate it out. Ritva says this as well in Maseches Kiddushin. There the Lashon is, Hakna'a gamurahi umamon shalohi. Absolutely 100% his. A number of Rishonim say this as well, and two very prominent Achronim say this. The Nesivos HaMishpat, and remember that, this is going to be important for the end of this year, the Nesivos HaMishpat has this opinion. Again, because remember, this is not just a mitzvah halacha. It's first and foremost a Choshen Mishpat halacha. Nesivos is a commentary of Choshen Mishpat. Nesivos HaMishpat believes that. The Chasam Sofer also has a tshuva, where he has very suggestive language. I'll read you the one line, or the money quote, of the Chasam Sofer. He says, Matalman Asahasir, Hada Matana Gemura, the Tzmitzas Almin, Rak the Talabatanai. She makes it, he what was implicit in the Ritva, he explicates. The Tzmitzas Almin, it's yours forever and ever. The Tzmitzas Almin. But, a detail, Rak the Talabatanai. There's going to be this condition down the road, okay?
You give me the Esra, I have it, and it drops, and the Ritva falls
off. Good question. I wasn't planning on discussing it, even though it is one of the Nafkaminas, but since you asked it, remind me, and I'll mention it. Okay, remind me, I'll get to it.
Question whether you can give it to a katan.
We'll get to that too. Good. Just take it. Let me go step by step. So that is the Ritva, and we'll see. It's the Rush, and it's the Nesivis, and it is the Chasam Sofer. You own it 100%. You tell me in the future I have to return it. I live in the present, carpe diem. I'm not worrying about the future. Now I own it 100%. So you ask me why doesn't it work for a kedushin? So we discussed that three years ago, and our Shabbos Gemara kedushin shurim. I have two shurim on it, but not now. Not now. But it's a good question, and it's about focus for showing them why it doesn't work. It's not the function.
So the Ritva would agree it doesn't work.
The Gemara says it. The Gemara says it.
The Gemara says we're not kosher.
Correct. The question is why not? That's my focus for Shem.
Does the Chlum ask after the issues you just posed apply to Mashkin also?
No. Again, we're not there. We're going to stick just to this. We're not talking about Mashkin. Everyone has to be understood on their own. We're talking now about Kana Amanasa after. Mashkin has its own complications, but that's not what we're discussing. That you're, it's the same. It relates to the point you mentioned before, and I hope to get it to the end of this year.
Go.
That relates to the story, right? That relates to the story where each one gave it to the next person. So we'll get to it. We matter. Okay. No. Because I only gave it to you on condition you return it. That's pashut.
I understand, but you're saying it's a communion. I want the one that makes it tonight.
No.
It's completely yours.
Zayla, good. Yuri, listen. What did you just say? You said maybe if I didn't return it, it was Zayla. You said that, right? The Gemara said explicitly, Lahot Yes HaGozel. You can't be Yotzei a lulav with this. And Echanami, your heart is right. If you don't fulfill it, you're Tanai and Echanami. You have a stolen lulav. Right. No, it's Lamafrei. No. It's Zayla Lamafrei. I'll decide that you fulfill the Tanai. I'll decide that you fulfill the Tanai. Everyone has to admit that. But again, I understand what you're honing in on is that they are making the case so strong on the front end. It makes it harder to understand why the back end has such power. Fair enough, I'm asking, but that's the fact. That's the advantage of this approach. It has a strength and has a weakness, no pun intended, to this approach. Just to give you a better appreciation, I'll mention to you that there is a minority opinion. It is a minority opinion, I believe, but a notable minority opinion in Rishonim and Achronim. Not that disagrees, because everyone, it's a Gemara. It works. but a disagreement on how it works. On how it works. And this may be more a little bit what you would be more comfortable with, I don't know. The Tosfos Ridge, for example, on that Gemara, as well as Rav Avigdor Katz. And we know that not all, but many Katzes, what is that an acronym for? Kohen Tzedek, which is exactly his name, was Rav Avigdor Kohen Tzedek, quoted in the Tshuvas HaRosh, first and most prominently by the Tshuvas HaRosh. And then is quoted by the Tzos HaChoshen, and since the average person learns more Tzos HaChoshen than Tshuvas HaRosh, it became known as the Rav Avigdor Katz quoted by the Tzos. But really, really, the Tzos got it from the Rosh. The Rosh of the Tshuva has this discussion, and the Rosh quotes that Rav Avigdor Kohen Tzedek, Rav Avigdor Katz, had a different approach. I'll read you the one key line from Avigdor Katz. He says, that is the prerogative of the sponsor. So says the Rush in the name of Avigdor Katz, if I just say use mine, right, it's mine, but use mine, that doesn't work. You cannot be Yom Tov Rishon B'Lulava Shachavero with your other person, even though Afagav Yahib Leib Eferish Hanash Himusho, even though I tell you, please, Bavaka Shah B'Chavad Godol, use my Lulav. That does not work because it's still my Lulav. You can't use that. Lo Nafik Be, you're not Yotze. Why? Ad Demakni Lei Kniyas Haguf L'sha. Avigdor Katz adds one key word. L'sha. Which, if you want to focus on the chronology, that is directly, again, even though our halachic timeline will be a little bit mixed up, but in terms of conceptually, that line is most obviously a contrast with who? With the Chasam Sofer, for example. We talk about L'tzvisas Alman. You own it forever. Says Avigdor Katz. Are you kidding? You only own it L'sha. You own it, true, but only for a temporary amount of time. Because after all, you agree that you're going to give it back at whatever said time is. He concludes that he repeats the phrase a few lines later. Mihu kinyan haguf l'sha'a mikri. Kinyan haguf, you fully own it temporarily. What is going on here? And the Tzos HaChoshen, by the way, doesn't just, the Rosh quotes this and disagrees with it. The Tzos HaChoshen quotes it and agrees with it, and we'll see Pachmi this way, halacha l'maisa. Again, everyone holds you own it, and that even as halacha nafkamina. The question is, how do we understand not so much your ownership, but the relationship between your ownership on the front end and the fact that you're going to have to return it, absolutely have to return it on the back end. So the first approach said the future is in the future. You can't go back to the future. There's no time travel. Future is the future. Right now we're living in the present. Tanai no sachriti. As far as we know now, you own it forever. In a week, or in an hour, the time will come. Okay, then I'll deal with it tonight. Says Rav Avigdor Katz, says the Tzos HaChoshen, says the Tosfos HaRid, also who seems to say like this. No, who are you kidding? Come on. Come on. I don't like Gary was saying, come on. We're going to pretend we don't know about the future? You can't go back to the future. We know. We made an agreement. So that doesn't mean you might have thought that means I don't own it at all. No. Matana Tzal Shma Matana. What it means is that we take into account the future even in the present. We, from the beginning, know you own it temporarily. We don't play some halachic legal mumbo jumbo. I own it forever until I'll have to return it. Come on. That's too legalistic, says the Avigdor Katz, says Exos. I own it temporarily. Say it like that. Just to give you my own analogy, the way I like to imagine this for myself. Rav Avigdor Katz is basically describing it as like an hourglass. As the ownership starts off for whatever it meant the time there, and eventually every minute you're owning it until the time runs out, it's slowly your ownership is naturally ebbing away. At the end of the time, whether that time you made up was 5 minutes or 5 years, it's irrelevant. Whatever condition you made, Amanas Lahasir, at that moment, Lashah, at that point, it naturally is over. You don't have to end it, it's already over. Good, very good. So you're already, Rabbi Oberstein. I knew it would work. That with the sponsorship comes with Yad Hashemayah for sharp points. Rabbi Oberstein is already bavorning a very big vulnerability in this approach, the Tzos's approach, with that Gemara. Good, 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 very good.
So I have to distinguish between Shu'ula. In other words, Shu'ula, you don't.
Because Shu'ula, you don't own it, you're borrowing it. I'm using yours. According to this, again, it's a very fine line. Now, that's the advantage of the Ksosis Pshat is it's more down to earth. It's more commonsensical, I think. Come on, what do you mean? I'm pretending I don't know the future. That's the advantage. The disadvantage is what Alan said, which is you're starting to blur the lines very much between what does it mean to borrow and what does it mean to own temporarily.
The Gemara says chivus is materially owned. I mean, if you rent something.
There's a lot of categories in halacha. There's mashka and there's chivus. A lot of things. Each one has to be. So that question, what's the difference between schirus and shu'ula in general?
And
once you talk about a temporary gift, so now we have three things which are all temporary. So Enochanami, we don't have enough time to do it tonight, but if you could either discuss them all independently, or if we had more time, we would give a whole maracha explaining all three. We don't have all that time, so we're going to just discuss the one. Yes?
The bigger challenge seems to make more, like you said, to me.
I knew you would like it better. I knew you would.
It's like a timeshare. It's only yours for 3 days.
Yes.
I own vacation on the June, I own July.
Yes, that's exactly what he says, and that's why the Ksos. And that's why the Ksos prefers it, exactly. Yes. Okay, now I hope my various analogies helped illustrate it, but the best way we can illustrate the differences and appreciate them is to see some nafkamina. Now, I was going to mention three, but Joey mentioned the fourth. So, believe it or not, I'll try to get to Joey's fourth. The first and most obvious nafkamina, I almost said it already, the first and most obvious nafkamina is the following. When I return it, which I have to do, do we need to make a new kinyan when I return it? So the Rishonim discuss this. The Ritva, in the very pieces that we mentioned, the Rosh, on Masechta Sukkah and Paragimel, and the Nesivis Paskins as well, that when I return it to him, I need to make a kinyan. Just like when he gave it to me, I made a kinyan to take it. When I return it to him, Hamakna, and he's re-kone it. However, the Ksos, we'll get to it. The Ksos, Sachoshen, says you don't need a Kenyan at all. No Kenyan, just give it back to him. No Kenyan.
The battle reverts.
Huh?
All the battle reverts to the
exactly. And what's the basis of this machlokas? It's almost like, again, you all know this, let's spell it out. It's obvious. This is mamish, the obvious nafkamina between the two approaches. If you see, like those Rishonim and Achronim said, that I own it forever and ever and ever, it's just that I made a promise that I'm going to return it. Okay, so I owned it, and the original owner has no shakas to it anymore. Just that I have an outstanding note that I have to give it to him. But I have to give it to him, it's as if not only did we not see the past, we also have no idea about the future. Not only did we not see the future, we have no idea about the past, right? We live moment to moment. So now that I'm giving it to him, it's as if I'm giving it to him from scratch. So he needs a new kinyan. And that's why the Nesivis and others are Lishitasam, and they hold it's a full kinyan gomer forever. And that's why when I give it back to him to fulfill my external, quote-unquote, Tanai, then he needs to make a new kinyan. He's reacquiring it as if he's mamish panim chadoshus ba'olakam. However, the Ksos HaChoshen, exactly the language you use, is you took the words right from me, beautiful, says no! Because his whole understanding of Matanat Tahasir is like the hourglass. It's naturally dissipating. It's always only been the Shah. So whenever that Shah comes, Memela, my ownership expires or runs out, and Memela, it transfers back to the original owner because I only owned it for that time. So there you see a very easy and beautiful illustration of why this is not just academic hair splitting, but will have very concrete and specific nafkamina. Let's give you a second nafkamina.
One more question about that. In the situation in the story when Rabbi Akiva had to return to Rabbi Gamaliel. So the heter was because there was a mitzvah.
What heter? You mean why you left
the heter to make a kinyan on Yom Tov?
Okay. Bapashtus, I would say, yeah.
Okay, so the returning it to the person that you have to return it to.
Yeah, because if I don't do that, I wasn't Yosei.
You return the next day, you're still Yosei.
Who said that was the deal?
I don't know.
It wasn't right.
And maybe the returning happened the next day. That's not clear from the story. There's no indication in the story when that happened. Okay?
And so, someone said you have to make a kinyan. The Shita said you have to make a kinyan. Sorry, it's the other one.
Yes.
That's a steer. It's the same way we said before. That's not possible. If you didn't do it, then you're not yet to
it. No, it is.
That's a steer then.
Again, you are. You're also the Shita. Because you didn't like the Shita from the beginning, and this is why you didn't like it.
If I'm not yet to remove, I need to give it back. And he's going to never mind.
Now, again, because this is all totally reasonable in a halakhic universe. Not in a common sense, because one, I admit, but in a halakhic universe. Again, if we live moment to moment, I don't know about the past and the present, and I don't know about the future and the present. When I own it, I totally own it. But I did make a condition, and if I don't live up to the condition, then that has the power to work with Lamafreya, because I only owned it on condition that I would return it. But, yes.
Then make the king. And if you don't make a king, what happens to it? Sits in limbo. It's mine. If you don't make a king, according to that sheet, it's not yours. So not yours, it's somebody's. It's mine. So how does
the idea? Are you talking about the front end or the back end?
No, I'm saying, no, the end of the limbo doesn't want to answer. According to what does that make a king afterwards?
On the return.
So that means that if I don't make a king,
you're asking an interesting question, which I didn't think about, which is, let's say I do fulfill my condition and I give it to you, but you don't do any kind of agbar or whatever, you're not konet, but I gave it to you. So I think there, I start for you to believe that I wouldn't be yosef, because I did what I was supposed to do. The fact that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Again, you're mixing up two points. You're mixing up two points.
You don't make a king and you have to make a king. And you didn't make a king, so whose is it?
At that point,
limbo? No, it's not limbo. Somebody is mine. So I was the answer. I'm a liar.
I don't know.
It's a very common, thing that you borrow a lulav and esrog and the guy goes home.
Whatever the deal is,
it's not. No, but the point is, you didn't make a king once you get returned to it. Not
why?
Not
again, just this is your.
He doesn't need it back anymore.
Right. One thing which we will not be able to get to, which is every possible permutation of the case, but one thing which the post can be mentioned, which relates to the common cases, including perhaps, according to Sarbishon, the original case, is that when you get, there are times when the Shacharar talks about it, nothing alo stam, what if you just give it without any explanation? So then we do a general umdana, we make presumptions, we make our best guess. If it's the first day or second day of Yontif, and we know you need it back, or you haven't shaken yet, then we assume that you said you're going to give it back in a way that he can fulfill the mitzvah. If, as the Shag was alluding to, well, let's say he was already yotzei the second day or the first day of his manabayas, and you don't need it back, then enchanami, maybe we don't care. Don't be confused by two related points. You hear this, Yudi? I'm talking to you, all of you and you. Namely, there's two points. I'm not saying you could be a ksos man. It's a badge of courage with a ksos. Don't worry. But the reason, just so you have to understand the other sheet is, there's two separate points. One is, what do I have to do to fulfill my mitzvah. A second point, think about it this way, this will make it easier for you to digest. The point about a kinyan is not about me and my obligation. It's about you, let's say you were the original owner. So if you want to reacquire it, it's about you. You need to make a new kinyan. As opposed to the nesivis would say, the ktos would say, you don't need to make a new kinyan because it reverts back to you automatically. Right? That focuses on the new owner who's really the original owner. How does he acquire it? Does he have to reacquire it, or does it automatically go back to him? That is one question, which is machlokes, and I'm suggesting, it's very obvious, I'm not even suggesting it, it's mukhruch, that naturally is an extension of their basic machlokes. There's a related, but separate point, which is that I have to fulfill my tnai in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Also, that's not debated by anybody, and if I don't fulfill my tnai, and my tnai was to give it back to you, you decide to make a kinyan or not is your business, and it'll be an afkamina if you have to make a kinyan or not. But even Aliba the Mad Amar and the Sivas, you have to make a kinyan, that's not my tonight. My tonight is that I gave it back to you. You'll ask me if you didn't make a tonight, who owns it? That's an interesting theoretical question. But that's all it is. That doesn't change these things. I got to move on. We're not going to get to some of the really good stuff, which we haven't even got to yet. We did just little good stuff. We have really good stuff still. So I'll give you quickly some more nafkaminas before we get to... It's already 11:06?
Sure, it's okay. The course doesn't come out till 11:00.
I had no idea what time it is, but Mamash, we're enjoying such the football. Okay, we'll try 5 more minutes, okay? And certainly anyone who needs to leave can leave. That's obvious. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to skip a lot of nafkaminas. I'll just mention quickly Joey's question, which is, again, like you said, topless money. That's always a good barometer. Let's say the esrog falls accidentally, completely with freak accident, hit some brakes. Uh-oh. Am I chayiv ba'achrayis or not? It's a machlokas rishonim. It's a machlokas rishonim. And again, who I did, it also goes back to this basic question. If you see me as owning it 100% like the Nesivis, then taka, I should be chayiv ba'achrayis. Because it happened to me on my watch, and I owned it. But if you say that it automatically goes back to you, then perhaps I could, then it's at least an open question, you could see according to the tzos, that you might not be chayiv ba'achrayis. Maybe. Okay, I took every question in the world, it's already 1106. 1107. Let me skip a lot of things. I'll skip a lot of things to mention two last things. Two last things. You ready? Please, Bavakasha, please. If it would be 10 minutes ago, I would take more questions, I promise. Two more things. One is, on the issue of Kinyan, it was already alluded to, there's a Gemara that seems to be directly related. The famous Gemara, Adaf Mevav, literally, Inish, Lelova, Lianuka, Yomatavah, namely, if you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet, you're not supposed to give it to your very young child, because even though Chazal will allow him to be owned and make a Kinyan to have it, but he can't be machted. So the Nesivis, against you, these facts, and the Rosh, etc., they don't just love this Gemara, they don't just quote this Gemara, they love this Gemara. Because what is implicit in this Gemara? That when you return it, there needs to be a Kinyan. And the Kotten can't make a Kinyan. It seems to be a ironclad Raya for the Nesivis and the Rishonim. What about the Ktos? This is Mamish. In all my learning, I can't say I've gone through the entire Sefer Tosafot Koshen, but it's quite hard, I've seen a lot of it. This is, to me, the weakest paragraph in the whole Ktos. Because his mamish is dead to rights. But he's such a genius, he can get out of it, but he's really wiggling. The Ksos says, well, perhaps that Gemara is only bestama. If I just gave it to my cotton stam, my little boy stam, so then, who said I was giving it to Matan Masahasir? Uh-oh, he better return it. We're in trouble. But says the Ksos HaKoshin, Halocha Lamaisa, if I give it on the first day of Yom Tov to my little five-year-old boy, but I say, Atalas, I'm giving it to you. On condition that you give it back to me, says the Tosaf Ocean, despite what seems to be a black on white Gemara Lehetzach, that was not being referred to in the Gemara, and Taka, you are Yosei, and your cousin can give it back. That's the Tosaf Ocean. So again, that Gemara seems to be a riot against him, but he, in a very creative, a bit way, gets out of the Gemara. Last point, I can't resist. Again, anyone free, please leave, please. But I can't resist those who are willing to say, because it's a, I'll call it a shtick of ha'arla, or even a chiddush of mine. So you'll forgive me the indulgence. The Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha quote the following discussion from the Sidur Derech HaChaim. The Derech HaChaim Sidur has the following hakpada. What should be the halacha if I give it to you, and against what happened in our story, I specifically say to you, Rav Yid, I'm giving it to you. I'm not the hafzir. Don't you be giving this to anybody else. So the Mishnah Brura and others, many others, Paskin, that that's a perfectly valid agreement. It's my lulav, I can make any condition I want with you. You are Yosei the Mitzvah if you do it yourself. And if you think you're going to be ecstatic because you once read a Gemara about Tanoim sharing a lulav, and you give it to somebody else, you violated the terms of agreement, retroactively you are a guzzle, and nobody's Yosei. That's the Mishnah Brura's halacha. However, they quote from the Siddur Derech HaChaim. No! The Derech HaChaim Siddur says, you cannot make such an agreement. To make such an agreement that where I give it to you and I tell you you can't lend it to anybody else, i.e. what happened in the Gemara, to make such an agreement, that violates the requirements of Atalam and Asahafir, and even if I do listen to you, I'm not Yosef. That's the Derech HaChaim. The Bir Halacha says every husband also agrees with it. So what's pshat in this Derech HaChaim? So Sternbach has an essay in the Moadim Buzmanim where he wants to suggest the following, that this Siddur Derech HaChaim is going based on the Ksos HaKoshin and Yuri Spats. Namely, since they hold this hourglass, my time is constantly running out, so my whole ownership is tenuous to begin with. It's constantly ebbing away every second. So for me to then have limitations on who I can give it to and who I can't give it to, that's already staring my ownership. The way we prop up the ownership, even though it's vulnerable with the hourglass muscle, is by saying I can do what I want with it until I give it back, until the time runs out. By me, it's not only is the time running out, but now I have limits. I'm in a straitjacket what I can do with it. So they're sure about that must be when the Derech HaChaim says what he says. But if you hold like the Nesivis, another Rishonim, behold, you have a Kinyan Gomor, So then I already have full ownership. The fact that I have very limited tanai, and whether the tanai is one I give it back or that I can't give to other people, that's okay. Ad kan Rav Shtarmbach. There's one small but completely devastating problem with that. The Siddur Derech HaChayim is written by the Nesivos. So you cannot explain the Derech HaChayim based on the Ksos when the Bar Putz of the Ksos is the Derech HaChayim. Just doesn't work. So there's, with all due respect, it just can't be right. So what's Pshat? So what is Pshat? So what I think Pshat is, that's horror number one by me. Number two is, so what is Pshat then? I think Pshat is as follows. I think it's just Mamaji takes the wrong turn, but he was on the right track, but on the wrong lane. What the Derech HaChayim is saying is, if I hold the Shitaso as Nesivos, then it's a Kinyan Gomer, I fully own it. So Mehekatesi, you're telling me what I can do with it, what I can't do with it. If I fully own it, I can do whatever I want with it. I can give it to you, I can give it to him. You're telling me I don't fully own it? You're telling me that I can't give it to my friends? So that's a stira to the whole understanding of Matanat Ha'atzah, which means I fully own it. According to the Ksos, so then King Claren, maybe he would agree with that, maybe he wouldn't agree with that. But it's not a stira per se, because after all, the Ksos already agrees that I have, again, it's Shema Matana, everyone agrees with Shema Matana, there's a baseline that no one's going to cross. But within that, above that baseline, the Ksos is already wobbly. He is vulnerable to begin with, because after all, if the time is running out, so maybe if the time is running out, so I already know I don't own it so perfectly, and if you're going to tell me that I also can't give it to other people, that's consistent with my relatively weak ownership. But according to the Nesivos, that says I own it completely, so how can you tie my hands behind my back? That's my suggestion for Derech HaChayim. Okay, Shabbos, sorry for going late.